The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
To another Friday. They are going by quicker and quicker. One more Friday and goodbye February. January, February gone. 10 months to go. Watch how fast 2017 is going to evaporate. Donald Trump, he sure looks good when he's in front of a crowd, especially a favorable crowd. He says the right things. People love him. He's a real communicator in his own regard. And yet when he's surrounded by the insulation layers of people who, at least in some cases, are treacherous, traitorous, duplicitous. And this is a Shakespearean tragedy in many ways. We'll see how it plays out. I'm holding off until 90 days, as I've asked all of you to do, before we make at least a semi-final or quasi-firm decision on where this is going to go. There have been too many contradictions, too many reversals for me so far. Too many statements that bear no resemblance at all to what we heard for a year and a half. But I guess that's politics, or it's pressure being applied. I do know that I did not want and do not want, never would want, the alternative in the White House. Not a chance. Meanwhile, Mike Pence, like a pussycat, just sits in the back, purring, kind of waiting for his turn. It's another case of someone who has contradicted his boss multiple times and continues to do it. All right, well, to check in with us tonight and to share some of his views on things is our, and we cover all sides here, our wonderful organic resident left liberal, a man with a brain, though. Many of the liberals don't. Of course, many of the conservatives don't either. Mr. Dean Henderson from the great state of Missouri. Hello, Dean. Welcome back.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
You don't want to know.
I know. Yeah, I totally hear you, man.
God. Never in my life. All right. Anyway, so how's it look to you, my friend? Tell us.
It just gets weirder. It does look like there's some major themes. You know, for example, Trump taking on the mainstream media, I just think is awesome.
Amen.
Just shredding them.
Yep.
And because they're just liars and they're the
scum,
Illuminati,
dirt,
mouthpiece.
Rotten, mouthpiece,
and
globalist.
And from his
garbage.
Press conferences, so good one. Yeah. And then I see the Flynn thing is really fishy. It's just a crime what these people did, wiretapping a civilian, and what he said was nothing. And I think Trump basically threw him dry was the sad part there.
Agreed.
And shouldn't have. You
should
know?
Have pulled him right back in and said, that was yesterday, today is today.
Yeah, you know, and on the other hand, of course, you have Israel situation. You have Iran situation. And, you know, you're right. It's just still, we've still got to wait and see. I know it sounds like a broken record. You know, I think we probably said the same thing last time we talked, but we got to wait and see because 90 days, maybe that's it. But is he going to back off, you know, the Iranian pressure? You know, there's signs that it might just be a bunch of blow, you know, posturing, whatever. There's really no way they can get out of that nuclear agreement anyway. There's five other signatories to it. It's not like he could just, you know, walk out. I mean, it doesn't matter what we do, you know, unless... So, on the other hand, yeah, warming up to China, still, I think, warm up to Russia. Amen to that. But yeah, it's just a real mixed bag. There's some really good stuff and some really horrible stuff from my point of view.
What really bothers me, Dean, is Jerry Kushner. Don't call me Jerry.
Jared
Kushner.
Nailed it.
That little worm, that little piece of garbage.
There's your Zionist Mossad mole.
He's got the Mossad cabinet seat.
Absolutely.
That's him.
Yep.
He and his Jewish wife, two Jews, three Jewish grandchildren, and you tell me they don't have influence?
Big time. And that's what they always do. It's always some wife or some in-law or somebody, and there's always that. And that's what it looks like to me. That's where that influence is really coming down is Kushner. And yeah, it's kind of scary because it just, I mean, Netanyahu's just on morphine. I mean, he's just flying like a kite. He's just, you know, and we're talking about a third intifada pretty much already being announced. Iran had a conference the other day where I think over 80 countries attended in support of the launching of this third intifada. Just saying, look, we have nothing. There's no choice. These people are crazy. We're just going to have to fight them again. And so Hezbollah's, you know, shining up the rifles in Lebanon. And, you know, it's just going to go back to that. And so it's really, that's really sad Kushner got his way, I guess, whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I never had a lot of, you know, Trump went to AIPAC and he pretty much prostrated before him like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
If not worse, you know.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like a surprise, but
they've got him by the short hairs.
Stuff,
they
know?
Got him.
Yeah, they got him. And, you know, that's just how it is. And, you know, it's just like somebody said, you know, Trump represents the 1%. Hillary would have represented the 10%. But it's, again, it's just oligarchy versus the oligarchy. To me, this thing, the whole thing is kabuki theater. It's all about, it's like a division fest. They're having, it's division fest 2017, right? So you got
good.
A gender war, you know, because Hillary's crazy. PC and Trump's a pig, and you got a religious war because we're all being instructed to hate Muslims. Meanwhile, what is ISIS doing? Killing millions of Muslim people, desecrating Muslim holy sites, you know, torturing Muslim people, beheading Muslim people. And then
yes, sir.
Part two of the propaganda, Samuel Huntington Trilateral Commission, is you're supposed to hate Muslims. Well, that's worked, so there's another divide. And then, of course, you got the black and white issue, which has never really been worse in this country, black-white relations, I would say, since at least the early 60s. So it's a division fest, and that's exactly what they plan when they put these two candidates against each other. And it wasn't really, Trump's nothing, and Cleveland Clinton's nothing. She's just a small fry and a big thing. And they just wanted these two people for very specific reasons. And I think that's the most dangerous part of what I'm seeing, is just the uncivil, just the... especially, I might say, from the Democrat side, from the DNC, you know, the resist people side, who are just unreasonable and crybabies and just being like the people who said, you know, whatever, said Obama was Kenyan or whatever. It's just the same kind of crazy loser stuff, and it's like, I don't know. It's just it's at an all-time high, you know, the division in this country, and it's just so sad to see. And nothing's going to come of it, probably. Just like, because what did we expect? I mean, what did we think was it? Don't we know elections are rigged in this country? Don't we know we don't live in a democracy? When are we going to finally admit that and do something about it instead of playing this illusion? Both sides playing the illusion that somehow. And I did it too. I supported Bernie, thinking naively that somehow they would have let him win, but of course they wouldn't let him win. And of course, I mean, it's just, so it's just, again, it's just another, it's kind of the same old shit, well, Jeff, in a way.
It is a SOS, exactly. same old crap.
In a way.
It is, yeah. But here's the thing. You mentioned Bernie. Bernie won. They stole it from him as clear as day.
Right.
They punched him out. They beat the hell out of him.
Beat the hell out of him.
They did. Hey, here's what you're going to do, Bernie. He probably mouthed off and they got ugly.
Yeah,
right, that's what they do. They didn't kill him.
Agree. I think that's what happened. And where were the resist people then? Or whatever. Where were these protesters then, you know?
Well, they weren't getting paid then.
The only time that mattered, because once it was Clinton and Trump, it didn't matter anymore. Don't you get it? So November, whatever, I don't care. It's, I'm kind of glad Trump won, but I know both of them are going to suck. And so where were these people then? But no, see, that it's American, like, classic denial. Like, people live in denial. So they're denying that Hillary was a terrible candidate. They're denying that they cheated on Bernie. They're denying all that. And they said, the Russians did it. The Russians did it. The Russians did it. And it's just like this total, the truth gets just totally thrown under the bus, man. Nobody on any side of this thing is telling the truth anymore. That's the scary part to me.
Well,
it's just all posturing and denial. Just denial, you know? Like, the Trump worshippers, and on the other hand, the crybabies who said it's the Russians. I mean, it's just old. It's just both camps are so rotten, you know? And that's why, that last interview I did on Press TV said, I kind of came off the middle of the road. I thought about that. I was like, normally it's not where you want to be, but right now it's just like, I don't want to be with any of y'all. You are all just a bunch of liars and psychopaths, man, right now.
Well, we're seeing that. We're seeing that. It's not the deep state. We're seeing the deep government. It's always been liars.
Yeah.
Always. And now here's the problem that I see. You mentioned people into that left-right paradigm. Well, my point. That's all bullshit. Now what's going to happen is that the people, tragically, are being successfully engineered into a more stupid, uninformed, dumber state.
Right.
And they'll be more likely to affiliate with one wing of this two-winged whore that we call
politics.
You
got to have a badge. You got to join a camp. You got to be part of a camp. This is our camp, and you're going to be in it, or this one. That's it. And they're just docile sheeple, and they're being herded into these two pens, and it's just sickening.
Yeah.
And this is you're absolutely right. This is the bigger design plan, along with the GMO foods that are literally, physiologically dumbing us down, literally. Along with vaccines.
And shortening our lives.
Everything they're throwing at us to try to kill us and dumb us down.
Yeah.
And us stupid.
How about
this?
It's their goal. It is their goal. How about this, though? RFK Jr. gets appointed to a vaccine commission. Now, that's really strange. That's kind of snuck in there. Good for Trump. I mean, that's challenging big pharma.
I thought so, too. That was great, and he reached across the aisle, and that's great, too. And same with Tulsi Gabbard and their conversations. See, Tulsi Gabbard is sensible. She's not one of those people I just described.
Correct.
And she's sensible. So, I got to say, I'm probably net-net, I'm happier than I thought I'd be with Trump, just because at least he's taken on the mainstream media, and at least he's calling it fake news, which we were calling it before he was calling it,
Yes.
And, and he's taken on the NSA and the CIA, and you got these liberal Democrats now that just all of a sudden the CIA is their best buddy, and the NSA, who they protested for years and should have, rightly so, and I did, too, in Nicaragua, and all these people they just murdered and killed, and all of a sudden all these liberal Democrats are coming out and they're favoring the NSA over Trump.
It's amazing.
Because he's Trump. Just because they just can't. They just, everything's got to be on a personal level to Americans, And they don't like the guy viscerally, and he's kind of a jerk. And I get it, but you got to rise above that and analyze things politically and do things accordingly. Use your rational mind that way. You can't personalize everything and just put a big middle finger up to Trump right now and say, you're not my president, fuck you.
No, you can't do that.
Shit.
No, that's
what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And I'm so aggravated.
Childish,
right,
beyond childish.
It's horrible.
The other thing about Trump that also is not mentioned, and I think we do have to acknowledge, and I think you'd probably be right up there with me, he's literally risking his life taking on globalism, big pharma.
Yeah, maybe.
Seems like he still
might do price controls. He's still talking this way about going after the pharmaceutical. Even the Wall Street people are saying, I guess pharmaceutical stocks are going down. Kind of, they're the only one that is out of, right now.
Right.
And that's because they're afraid he is going to do these price controls. So, know, go for it. I mean, like I say, I really think the jury's still out and gave him time. But, yeah, it's dangerous because, you know, he's going to war with the mainstream media. He's going to war with the NSA. People have to appreciate the gravity of it. Remember the last time that happened? It was Nixon, okay? And Nixon was the same way. He was, yeah, I didn't agree with his politics, and I didn't like, you know, he wanted to clear-cut Ivory Forest, and he wanted to hunt down COINTELPRO, Fred Hampton, and kill him in bed in Chicago with Black Panthers, go after any, I didn't like any, you know, it's like Trump, he's just Dakota Access, that's stupid. But, on the other hand, Nixon introduced price controls, Nixon, you know, basically stabilized the dollar by, you know, right, paying off the French in gold and stuff like this. And they didn't like it. And the Rockefellers overthrew Nixon. That's what happened. Kissinger was a mole. He was deep throat. And they overthrew Nixon. Not because he was some right-wing kook, but because he was actually a populist and came out with some stuff that freaked them out. Like he invented the EPA, for example. That was a Nixon thing. And, I mean, things like that. Just things people don't think about Nixon doing. That's the kind of guy I think Trump can be. I think he's not really a Republican. He's just pragmatic. So I still hold out hope, but, you know, yeah, it's tough because you got Kushner and you got all these other people, and you know, I just don't know. He's just, in his class. He's just from the billionaire class, so can he really relate?
Well, when I see Kushner...
I think he's trying, but...
And I think he is trying. I think he's in over his head. He's working 20 hours a day. That's real. That's what we hear. I don't have a big problem with Bannon, frankly. Everyone's making him out to be some big villain.
I don't either. He probably makes a lot of sense. I don't know much about him, but, you know, it's just a red herring.
Agreed. Here's the deal. Kushner will come to be known, I think, by a lot of scholars in time as maybe the biggest mole in modern presidential history. He's right there. This is Mossad. He's autonomous. He's running an autonomous foreign policy. He's consulting. He's reporting. When he was over in Israel training with the Israeli army, they picked him up in a second. And I'm not convinced by anybody, and never will be, that he wasn't set up with Ivanka Trump. And that's kind of a reverse honey trap.
Of course. Yeah, reverse honey trap. Well, of course. That's how they do it. That's how they infiltrate all this stuff, marry into it or, you know, whatever it is. But they just infiltrate everything, and they're just ready for everything. And maybe that's why they figured, well, we can allow Trump to be the nominee because we got, you know, Jared Kushner. We got our ace in the hole just in case. You know, I don't know. But they study all this stuff, as you know, and it's just it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I just do think we have to give more time, just like you said.
Yeah, you've been
rational thing to do.
See, I want to point out also that Dean Henderson is a real journalist, and you're hearing a man who is being honest, honorable, fair, equitable, reasonable, pragmatic in his evaluation of what we're seeing. He's not into some dogma.
I'm not an ideologue.
No, never, no, never happened.
You, Jeff,
so you're welcome. Your stock just went up in many people's books doubled because of what you're saying. You can be a liberal and be intelligent. Unfortunately, many of the liberals out there are morons and getting dumber all the time.
Yeah, you got that right.
There's another thing I want to mention. You talk about African Americans and where they are. I really do see them as being targeted and influenced from within and without, and that they're changing. I don't know who's running them, but there's something going on there. It's not the same old African American shtick.
No,
it's something new.
I also think that some of them are coming around.
Oh yeah, I've seen some really extraordinary Black
Americans.
Those
are the people that are coming around. You know,
yeah.
You know why? Because they know the real deal. And it's like when I ran for Congress, we'd be going down to Boot Heel sometimes, you know, big district, 28 counties, including the Boot Heel, which is, you know, a lot of Black folks down there. So we'd go down, I'd talk to Black churches and whatnot, you know. And
yeah.
Man, every other place I'd go, people, I'd have two kinds of bumper stickers I carried around. One of them was Henderson for House, you know, whatever. And the other one was 911 was an inside job. You know, and this was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so every other place I go, all these Democrats, they'd want the Henderson House stickers. And when they'd see them other ones, they just kind of turn away from, you know, the white people. When I go in Black churches, they didn't want nothing to do with my bumper sticker. They'd just be scooping up those things in droves.
Ah, interesting.
And see, that's what I mean. That's why they're coming around, because they're not naive. They're not going to be led around for very long. I mean, I know they tried to. Yeah, they always tried to. They tried to lead everyone around. And it kind of succeeded because they took them away from Bernie. And that's where all these people should have been voting. And that's why they had these people showing up at Bernie rallies and just getting in his face out in the audience, you know, mm-hmm. about how he didn't say the word black and all this stuff. And they just, mm-hmm. it was a deliberate campaign by the Clintons to turn black people against Bernie.
Soros was in there too, of course.
Yeah, of course, financing the whole thing. Yeah. And they did it, and they pulled the blacks away from Bernie. They also pulled the women away, which wasn't as hard. So it was deliberate, and that's where that all got going. But I think a lot of them are realizing that now. And if any segment of the population is going to surprise you as far as, you know, come around to Trump a little bit as far as left goes, because black people, you know, they're 90% left. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's almost DNA, political DNA.
Kinda, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. kind of, yeah. But, you know, so they might come around. And
I ran a video, yeah, Dean.
I'm from the show me state, so.
Yeah. I ran a video during, I guess, right toward the end of the campaign, Black Americans for Trump. These people, there must have been 8 or 10 of them, I don't know, 12. It was a compilation. They were so smart and had their stuff together, articulate. They got it. And I just wish that they were able to move into their communities and make an investment in that community and try and bring it at least to center, you know? I don't expect
them
to flip it around.
I'm sure they're trying, but yeah, it's hard, you know? Yeah, it's hard, but...
And you know what worries me? Let me do this. What really worries me is the simple fact that inner city blacks, deprived, they got no future, no hope, they're drugged out, you know the game. Mm-hmm. And who is after them now? These GD Muslims are going in there and saying, this Islam was your original faith, it's been taken from you by whites, and they're buying into it. They got an identity all of a sudden.
And that's all CIA stuff, to, along with all the drugs you talk
yes,
about.
It is.
Deliberate.
Yes, it is.
Gary Webb, you know, came out with a lot of that before.
Gary was on this program right before they killed
there
him.
There you go. And, you know, that's the game. And the Islam card is just another card that they're playing.
It's a bad
the
card.
The CIA, the British intelligence. Yeah. They're using Farrakhan. Farrakhan's a total, he's Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah,
what are you
he
talking
is.
About? I mean, he's kin to the Saudis, man. What are you talking about? I mean, talking all this trash. I mean, you know, it's just nuts, and it just divides people. And even Malcolm X, you know, when he went to Mecca and he came back and he realized that, he realized he was being hoodwinked by Farrakhan.
He got hustled. Yep.
And he said, man, no, it's about my white working class brothers are just as important as my black working class brothers. It has nothing to do with race. And see, people, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with race. And you can't just take a whole group of people anytime, ever, and put them in some category and make some assumptions about them. Or it's just ignorance, okay?
I wish I had
straight up
a dollar bill for every time I've said that in 24 years.
You know.
It's all the truth. Back with Dean Henderson in just a couple of minutes. Hold on. Talking with Dean, as we do once a month, and you can catch Dean on Rents.com at his own site and certainly on Press TV and other internet forums as well. This issue of Donald Trump being a Shakespearean-like, I'm not talking heroically here, but it's just kind of turning into it could be a Shakespearean tragedy. He's obviously still trying to do what he wants to do, but I would think that every day, there has to be a moment or two when he starts thinking about, well, geez, who can I really trust around me? Who is Priebus trustworthy? Really? Better wake up, Donald. No,
yeah.
These people are not. You are surrounded. You are penetrated. And Katie Walsh, the deputy chief of staff, busted for leaking to the New York Times big time. And you're going to tell me that Reince Priebus didn't know? Or if he didn't know for some bizarre, ungodly reason, he sure as hell should have. So, and what happened to her? Nothing. She's still there, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So he's surrounded with treachery, Dean.
That's what they do. That's exactly how the Council on Foreign Relations, which is really the nucleus of people that decide elections in this country, which is basically a nexus of banking and the CIA, banking and intelligence, that's who meets at the Council on Foreign Relations. In fact, a lot of the young fellas who their dad was maybe in intelligence and they're in banking, or maybe vice versa, their dad was a banker and all of a sudden they're going to be a CIA guy. And people don't realize how tight that is, that banking CIA nexus. It's in the Council on Foreign Relations, and they don't so much, the candidate's one thing, but they surround these people. They surround, it's the cabinet. It's the cabinet positions. It's many people have written about this, and it's, you know, Carol Quigley, many people, Jim Mars, many people have written about this. And this is how they do it. And insiders have written about this who've been there, you know. And it's like even Lenin, what did he say one time? He said, I feel like I'm turning the wheel, but it's not responding. And some invisible hand is moving it for me. I mean, that's how they do it. You know, that's it's just in the background. All these cabinet people, and the people that suggest the cabinet people. And that's, you know, Priebus and these people.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know about Johnny DiStefano, right? Priebus appointed this Johnny DiStefano to fill 600 of the top level administrative positions. He's establishment all the way.
Yeah, exactly. And so they just, that's the way it is. And it's just the pressure, you know, just, you know, what's Trump supposed to say? No to every selection.
Yeah, he can't.
He would have to. He literally would have to fight these people. So I really wish he would have stood behind Flynn and said what he said about the media the day before that. But yeah, Pence is, I don't trust either. And, so, you know, there could always be that where they're going to try to pull something.
Anybody who's a buddy of Rat Ryan is out of it, gone.
Right.
And Pence continues to contradict Trump.
He does.
Yeah.
Seems like, especially the NATO.
Especially his European speeches. Mm-hmm. And
watering all that stuff down. And look, those guys do need to pay their way, you know. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, I was, for one thing, another thing I got to say, foreign policy-wise, other than Israel and Iran, you know, Trump's been doing good. I mean, he didn't react at all to the North Koreans. That's exactly the way to play that.
You're totally right.
Ignore them.
Good, great observation.
I mean, that's what you have to do with the North Koreans, because they're crazy. And so that's what he did, and that was right. So good job there, you know.
Well, if Tillerson can keep his mouth shut and quit threatening China... What an idiot. What does he think? He doesn't get it.
The whole thing where he doesn't even have a deputy yet, and he just seems off the reservation, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, he's ExxonMobil, so right away, you know, you really can't trust him.
Well, what's in the bottom of the South China Sea, Dean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what do you think that's all about? You know, of course, you know, I really think, you know, you're right. It's just, I think you got it just exactly right. It's just, they're surrounding him. It is kind of Shakespearean tragedy. And, it is the way politics is. It's just, you get inside that bubble and there's all these people saying, do it this way. And there's nobody saying it, doing this other way.
Joel Skousen has a point that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. He knows people that know Trump. And he said, Trump's got a weakness. He's got a flaw. Mm-hmm. And that flaw is he hates to disappoint people. He wants to be liked and accepted. So he wants to go along, to get along with people, to keep them thinking he's a good guy. This is a kind of a deep psychological defect.
Interesting. Yeah, well, that could be another reason that they felt like they could trust him, because they, of course, do these kind of analysis on all these candidates. And I said the same thing about Obama. I always thought, you know, he had like a daddy complex, maybe because he never really knew his dad, you know? And so he was always, he was the same way. He was a pleaser, you know, he just wanted to please everyone. And I think a lot of these people are like that. I think Hillary Clinton is the same kind of personality, you know? And
she wants to please herself.
She wants to please herself. myself and our Moon Foundation donors mainly, but you know, they're just, yeah, narcissistic, weird people, and that's the thing. And as it's, you know, it's trouble, but we still don't have really clear picture how it's going to turn out. But I just hope that, you know, we need to work on these elections. We need to work on, if we're going to work on anything, if we want to have democracy, then we need to, people, you know, they need to bring back up the things we were talking about, electoral college reform, all these things next time around. Make it easier for people to vote, not harder, you know. Like Greg Powell supported all these people just being iced out. And again, that's how they cheated Bernie more than anything, was just turning people away from voter rolls. And
what was the recount in Detroit, Dean? When they got to 60% counted, and they had 110% of the potential voters already accounted for, the judge says, no more, that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. We'll call her good. Yeah, so there's a lot of problems and needs to get cleaned up. That's why we got in this mess really in the first place, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, of course, you know, we'll see about this infrastructure, what's going to happen with that. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be, for me, a big, you know, and I know for labor unions in general, that's going to be a big test to Trump, you know. But there's some trust in the unions. He did meet with the unions before he met with the CEOs, you know, when he initially.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, good.
That's classy.
He's pretty good at reaching across the aisle. I think if people didn't, on the other side didn't just want to bite his hand up, I think it might actually work. You know,
but that's deal making. That's what it's
like
about.
That. Bernie said, you know, he's gonna whatever, but he's gonna work with them on stuff too, and he will. Bernie's just like that. He'll work with them if he gets a chance. But just not enough people like that. And then I'm still afraid the Republican Congress is going to end up his worst enemy because
that's
such a bunch of neocons.
Rat Ryan. Neocons everywhere.
And they just want to make war with everybody and always and feed their buddies at Halliburton, and that's their deal. So I still worry that that's going to come, you know, eventually going to be his biggest opposition.
It's a very valid point. Very
along
valid.
With the cabinet, like we were talking about.
Yeah. We got to remember that Priebus and Rat Ryan and Pence even endorsed him, Scotty Walker. Is it the Wisconsin Mafia?
Right.
I don't.
South Dakota, you know, those Republicans in South Dakota, man. I mean, that's my home state. You know, it's probably, I'd have to say it's become the most corrupt state in the universe.
Wow.
In the country, it's weird, right? It's just Illinois, but it all started with Bill Jankel. He brought in Citibank and all this credit card stuff. So South Dakota took on the status almost like a Delaware situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where banks could have do shady things. So they passed a thing this election where the people did a referendum, 70% voted for this thing where they were just anti-corruption bill where, like, if you're a husband and wife, you couldn't run a bank together, you know, whatever, stuff like that, just nepotism stuff. And it passed. And what do they do within 3 days and after a few dead bodies, seriously dead bodies, all of a sudden the legislature, Republican legislature, just overturns it. Will of the people. It just overturns the will of the people.
Uh-huh.
My mom was so disappointed, and they'd actually, you know, they were inspired by it, and they got some good people on the school board. My mom's been always active in that stuff, and, you know, they got some of these rich farmers off the school board, put some decent people in there that gave, you know, just gave a damn about, you know, average Joe and were progressive, and then that happens. They just overturn the thing. And, I mean, what kind of democracy is that, you know?
Yeah. It's so sad because we are potentially capable of doing great things, and yet the deep state, the establishment, whatever you want to call it, they're going to... These are the people I've always said about, Dean, that they will take us all down with them rather than give up their control. It extends to globalism. It's a kind of a province of globalism, but still... Yeah. These people are killers. I'm amazed Trump is still alive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's right too, and can't ever forget the big picture. And who our real enemies are, you know, I guess that's the thing. Just, you know, you remember, you go after that head of that snake, you know. it's still got to be the Illuminati and the Federal Reserve and the Israeli lobby and this, the big stuff, the City of London, the Rothschilds.
I mean, that's
pulling our strings.
Don't forget about Kushner, Inc.
Kushner, Inc., who's a subsidiary probably of Rothschilds, I imagine. I don't know.
Who knows? Of course they are.
Yeah. All those IOs answer to Rothschilds, really, I think.
You know, do you think about it, though? Here's Trump. Everyone says Ivanka is the apple of his eye, and he loves all his kids, but she was very special. And Kushner comes in and takes her and mind controls her with this Orthodox Judaism crap, turns her into a Jew, and his daughter becomes a Jew. Three Jewish grandkids, a Jewish son-in-law, and why did he put that little worm in the I don't get it. He was told to.
Maybe with the gun at his head, maybe not. We don't know.
All he got to do is say, you know, Donald, do you love your daughters? Do you love your sons?
Yeah,
do you like your family?
Exactly.
It's really easy. It's not hard.
It's so sad, but but if that's the case, then, that's going to have to be the job of the alternative media, the fake news, me and you, Jeff.
Yeah,
bring that out, expose it, track this guy down like a jackal, and just dog him and just tell everybody about him. And
they're afraid to touch him so far. He's got a free ride so far.
But maybe we could change that because, this is how they run stuff, and it just takes a few key people.
Takes people with guts. We need some real heroes that are going to challenge these people. And look, connect the dots. Come on, draw the line.
Yes.
Jared Kushner to Tel Aviv to the City of London. Just draw three dots. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Three dots.
You can put one for Mossad in there if you want to connect another one for fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all there. Yeah. Let me ask you about the so-called media. One of the best achievements of Donald Trump so far, as you've been saying, has been to eviscerate this fraud, this pseudo-profession, which is no more a profession than it is. It's zero. It's the fourth branch of government. It's the Ministry of Information, mind control, and propaganda. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's supposed to become. Now all of a sudden they're going to be the opposition. They're going to be, you're going to be real journalists now? You're going to actually
investigate?
Oh, really? So maybe there's a silver lining somewhere here, Jeff. But, I doubt it but it's almost like they're leading the protests. The media is now, the media is the news.
Cheerleaders.
Whatever. Put your bandanas on and go down to the courthouse, CBS News or whatever. It's weird, right? It's just everything's upside down, turned around, and wow. But he's got him on the ropes a little bit, and that is fun to watch. And that is the best thing he's done.
It's wonderful to watch. And when he called that reporter out, that guy, he said, you're fake news. It was fabulous. And he called the one reporter, I think he was a Jewish guy, and he had a yarmulke on, and Trump didn't care. And they started calling him an anti-Semite and all that crap. Just lies, 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 lies. People are judged by their actions. I don't care what badge they wear.
Exactly. Your actions, exactly. I don't care what badge you wear, how you didn't quite say it right or whatever. But the thing is, another thing. Well, all this Jewish cemetery stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That big one in St. Louis, all these headstones. But don't you think that it just looks to me like a total... It's like a little padding for Israel with what's about to happen.
Guess who did it? They play the media right and left. This is probably it's a total false flag. The Jews did it to themselves.
They're just going to get sympathy for it, and then when Israel just carpet bombs Gaza next time or wants to build some, that'd be fine, after all that happened here. But, they make it out like it's actual anti-Semitic, and it's not. It's just... It's a false flag. So that's interesting timing on that. I mean,
they've done that forever.
That happen? It has no basis in, out of the blue. I mean, why would that happen?
Of course.
It wouldn't.
Nope, wouldn't.
It's not just happening.
They've done it so many times, you can't even count
them.
Nothing
just happens, right?
Not with those people.
But that's what worries me the most on the downside is just what's going to happen in Israel because, it's just looking ugly and... Palestinians have suffered so much already. They just can't. They really can't wait. And then it's just going to be a bloodbath. And unless you know, the Iranians step in or some big power steps in to help Palestinians, you know. But I'm not going to count that out either at this point, because I think Iran especially has just about had enough of Israel, really, honestly.
I don't know. They know they'll be beyond annihilated if they do anything. I don't know what
That's
they can
the question.
Do.
How close is Israel? How close is, I'm sorry, is Iran with Russia? That's the big question.
That is the big question.
Will they be annihilated, in fact, or will the Russians have something to say about that, maybe? But it's going to have to get bad, but I'm just saying it could get bad. It could get that bad again. And with Netanyahu, he's just got these bloodthirsty eyes now for Trump, you know. And even though, you know, to Trump's credit, he did say, you know, put a stop to the settlements for a while. Of course, Netanyahu didn't respond, didn't say anything, but at least he said that.
No, he's on the record. They won't stop. That's not the game. The game is to complete, as you say, whether it takes carpet bombing or a bio plague. They are going to ethnically cleanse Gaza. They'll bulldoze all of it, cover it up, and they're going to. I don't know if you know this. I'm the only guy I think that's talking about this. They have already. The Israelis have already contacted the Chinese, extensive conversations, and asked them if they will work with Israel to build an artificial offshore island in the Mediterranean. There's a shallow area off the coast of Gaza. For what? For an international airport with a paved six-lane causeway to the mainland. Why? To build Dubai on the Mediterranean. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you know, a lot of people, again, throughout the years, talked about, you know, this idea of, you know, when it's all come down, is, you know, Israel's going to become this sort of center of the universe and everything, and they got it all set up, and it just makes you wonder if this isn't the time when they're going to try to pull this off, this whole greater Israel thing. You know, they got that whole area gutted now, and it's a lot of that land's up for grabs in different places.
Yeah.
And that was always the idea. And it just, yeah, just how bold will the Israelis become?
I think they'll become as bold as they need to be. I don't think they have any restraints.
Got their back or whoever. Yeah. I don't think so either, and that's the scary part. And, you know, so that's going to be one to watch for sure. And, of course, that's not something you'll even hear in the U.S. media, but it's a real big deal in the Arab world right now, and people are really worried about it. And they should be, because...
Yes, they should.
And not just that, but the Iranians are much more capable than they were, say, even 10 years ago militarily. Hezbollah is much, much more capable than they used to be, and they run Lebanon now. And it's changed a little bit that way, to where it's not going to be as easy for Israel this time to push their stuff around in the immediate neighborhood. You know, they still got Jordan in their pocket, and the Saudis increasingly, but... You know, Egypt, I don't really know. You know, Egypt might be in their pocket, but I can't read those guys. I can't read.
No, they're on their, they're off on their own. They're on the side. Yeah,
kind of. So I don't know where they're standing. I got the Muslim Brotherhood, that was good, but these new guys, I don't know. They're back and forth on stuff, and I wouldn't trust them if I was Palestinians, put it that way. But maybe the West can't trust them either. I don't know what their deal is, but yeah, that's one thing to people should definitely tune into, is the Palestinian situation coming up here, because it's not going to be pretty.
Genocidal maniac Avigdor Lieberman, firmly in as defense chief in Israel, defense minister, and Netanyahu is more arrogant than ever. Lieberman has said, "Mark my words, the next war on Gaza will be the last one." And all they got to do is send a couple of teams of Mossad over there, have them dress up like Palestinians, have them shoot off a few rockets, kill a few Israelis, and there's your excuse. It's that easy. It's that easy. This could be happening tomorrow, and they will carpet bomb it. It'll be over.
I know.
The people are going to have to run out of there and walk out. Total diaspora immediately. They'll have to flee. Yeah. There's some real refugees for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very real situation. And, of course, you have the situation of moving the embassy, or trying to get rid of all Kurds and make, you know, Capitol. I mean,
that's what they're doing.
Insane.
Yeah.
It's totally insane.
Yeah.
It's not going to stand. Nobody's going to stand for that. So, yeah, they're just pushing the envelope, and that's going to be one to watch, is how the regional players, you know, what are they going to... It just seems to me Iran's a little more engaged this time than they... I mean, they've always been engaged. They've always supported Palestinians, to their credit, always, when a lot of people just quit supporting them. Iran always did. But it just seems like this time around they're a little more engaged, and we'll see. I'd say Trump, the best thing he can do is make friends with Iran. Very best thing he can do. And then if Israel pulls some stuff...
What a perfect bridge to Vladimir Putin and Russia. You got to have
it.
You cannot isolate Russia.
You can't do it. You can't be friends with Russia and be enemies with Iran. They don't realize how close those two countries are and have been for some time. And they just don't... I don't think they get that. It's like they didn't get about how close Syria was to Russia. And therefore, Russia and
the
right. You know, they didn't get that either. And when I say they, I just mean U.S. policy wonks, both parties,
right.
Whoever,
right.
Whatever. They don't get it. There's just not a lot of sharp people in that area. I'm afraid they're just not very smart. And
well,
they just
on,
don't
please.
Know world history. They don't know geography. They don't know just basic stuff. See, alliances, you know.
No, they don't.
Not
no,
good.
They don't.
Not
no.
good. So they don't understand that if you want to be friends with Russia, you'll have to be friends with Iran. And you'll have to at least be fair in Israel to the Palestinians.
Leave the Iranians alone. Leave them alone. Just leave them alone. It's really simple. It's a no-brainer. And maybe Putin can talk some sense into somebody. I don't know. Next time we'll talk about Ukraine, which more and more looks like it's about to invade Donbass, which will, of course, ignite all manner of horror. So we'll have to watch that. Dean, thank you. Thanks for being who you are. It's a great pleasure to talk to you always.
Hey, Jeff. You too, man. And thanks, and have a great night.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Dean. Okay. Bye-bye.
Dean Henderson, and we will be right back with hour number 2.